more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. We're the passionate show that helps you take control of your health so you can live at the highest level possible. We're sitting with Daniel Kunitz, who is the author of a book, Lift, Fitness Culture, From Naked Greeks and Acrobats to Jazzercise and Ninja Warriors. Talks about how we got where we're getting in physical activity and, if you will, how women are now shaping the world of fitness. Dan, thanks for coming on. And by the way, I should tell the people the website, newfrontierfitness.com, newfrontierfitness.com, for the book Lift and Everything from Daniel Kunitz.
Thanks
so
much.
Daniel, I date my own understanding of fitness really was, if you will, Socrates and Plato, a sound body and a sound mind and a sound body. And then I really dated to Ken Cooper, I guess it would be aerobics in the 60s, where he started the trend for us by influencing, saying that fitness was more than just, if you will, looking good or being able to run, but also was important for health. Where do you date it from?
Well, I think I think you're right. I think that the late 60s, early 70s, and Ken Cooper is the beginning of the mass culture of fitness, when more than just tiny subcultures and handfuls of people began to work out and understand that exercise is important. But what I would point out is that while, and not to take anything away from Kenneth Cooper, who is an incredibly important and influential figure, first of all, he brought us the notion of the training effect, the idea that you need to do this every day and progressively get better and better at it. But I think that with Ken Cooper alone, you wouldn't have had the mass culture of fitness that we did. It really is the handful of women who read aerobics and opened gyms and opened fitness studios in the 70s that changed everything, more so even than he did. He changed the thinking about it, but women empowered by feminism changed the practice. And I say that because for thousands of years before Kenneth Cooper, men had been working out, and there had been men like him arguing for the health value of fitness, and really not saying things terribly differently than he did. He said it quite well, and he had a broad audience. But for 2,000 years or 2,500 years, men had been saying this, and nobody worked out. And it really wasn't until women started doing it that it became financially viable for franchise gyms and for people to work out in a sort of mass way. So I would
now,
just add
now
that.
How much did now you're gonna have to this I didn't read in the book, and it probably is in the book, but I did not see it. When did women in the Olympics start?
Well, women have been off and on in the Olympics from the beginning. It sort of depends on what events you're talking about. Women have been allowed to exercise, and I do mean allowed, because for instance, in 1968, when Kenneth Cooper's book Aerobics comes out, women were not allowed in any marathon. They weren't allowed in the Boston Marathon. The New York Marathon didn't exist. There were some Olympics. There were some Olympic events that allowed women in, but it's sort of spotty. Every few years, they would change the rules and say, women shouldn't be allowed to do this because it's dangerous. Maybe women can do synchronized swimming. That's okay, et cetera. But for instance, women were not allowed to lift weights in the Olympics until the year 2000, as recently as that.
And now Jane Fonda, was that fitness? I don't know the year that was, but that was probably in the 70s as well, was it not?
No, actually, I think the first one's 81 or 82. But she, so she's an incredibly influential, obviously, because she starts bringing this notion of aerobics to through VHS, through video cassettes, to a huge audience, right? And she really publicizes fitness to many, many women, and then through women to many, many men.
As you can tell, I can ask Daniel Kunitz any question about the fitness culture, from naked Greeks and acrobats to jazzercise and ninja warriors. That's the title or the subtitle of the book Lift, L-I-F-T, and Kirkus Reviews, which is a starred review session, which is a really prestigious review. I aim to try and get that every book I write. But he has, let me read you the comment, an elegant book with literary qualities that suggests George Plimpton, an excellent contribution to the literature of athletic performance and of interest to anyone with a penchant for self-improvement and not just physical. This is a really excellent book, written well and with a total history, which, as you can tell, I can ask Daniel any question, and he has the answer to it because he knows the stuff. NewFrontierFitness.com. So take us to now the current time, if you will. We've had Jane Fonda, and then where are we now, and is it still women leading it? Is it men? Who does most of the fitness work now?
I think it's both men and women, but so let me talk about where we are and sort of a little bit about how we got there. About 15 years ago, things really started to change. We already had a mass culture of fitness. There were people running. There were people going to gyms. There were people doing aerobics classes and whatever. But first of all, the reasons for doing that was almost exclusively around aesthetics, meaning how you looked, whether you were skinny enough or whether, you know, or perhaps if you were one of the very few people doing bodybuilding, whether you looked muscular and fit. But there wasn't any real sense of performance. And really what changes in the last 15 years is that, first of all, we get the first really operational definition of fitness. We get an idea of exactly what we're talking about. Secondly, people begin to work out more for performance than purely looks. I'm not saying they stopped working out for looks, but how their health and performance improves becomes more and more important. Also, I'd say that at the cutting edge of the newer fitness movement, athleticism becomes the sort of dominant way of thinking about it, as opposed to just activities. You know, if in 1980 you were healthy or fit, if you went out on the weekend and played a game of soccer, say, or played a game of tennis, but it wasn't this holistic way of looking at your life and your health, where you realize that, oh, I actually need to work out every day or every other day. And I need to eat right, and I need to sleep right, and I need to, more than just do an activity, I need to train. I need to exercise and get better every day, and that's what I'm talking about in terms of athleticism. And part of that is the notion of embracing both intensity, working hard, which was feared really before 15 years ago, and in fact, a lot of doctors argued was bad for you. Going as hard as you can, or high intensity intervals, et cetera. And then the other aspect of intensity is strength and strength training, and realizing that strength is important. And I think in those areas, women have been leaders by being right at the forefront, along with men, of all of this. And so I think women are very much helping to lead the way. The notion of women, for instance, strength training is incredibly new, really is in the last 10 to 15 years, and has brought a lot of men, again, into strength training, which is a new thing.
When we come back, we're going to talk more about how to get more people, what percent of people are doing activities like this, and how to get more doing physical activity, and how to make sure people know it's just part of the culture. We've got to eat right and manage stress as well. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We're talking with Daniel Kunitz, the author of Lift, a great book on fitness and the change in fitness over time.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and we're talking with a great book author. Daniel Kunintz has written what I consider a fabulous book. It is really a fabulous book on fitness culture, how we changed, how we got to where we are. And what I'm going to ask him and really put him on the spot is how we get to the next level. Daniel, what percent of people are now doing regular fitness in the United States?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. There's an answer to that I don't have for you. And I guess one of the reasons I don't know is it depends on how you define regular fitness or regular exercise. But the most recent government numbers, I think, are from about 2008, and something like 60% of people claim they did some kind of exercise. But again, we don't know how much that is, and what it is. So all I can say is I think it's going in the right direction. I think that more and more people all the time are.
Although if you look at the NEHANES data, National Health and Nutrition Study in the U.S., it now says that more than 50% do less than 10 minutes of physical activity any day of the week. So that means that 50% now do less than 10 minutes of walking any one day of the week. That's total. That's not in an interval. So it's clearly
shocking,
less
yeah.
than 50%. And what I want to know is, how do we get more? You've studied this. You studied how we've increased to where we are now, and you've written it brilliantly in the book Lift. By the way, it's newfrontierfitness.com is his website. How do we get more, do you think? Is there any secret, since you've looked at this around the world, not just in the United States, is there any secret, any country that has much more, and what's their secret?
You know, there is no secret, and honestly, there is no country that's doing necessarily better than we are. Except, there are countries with smaller and more homogenous populations that perhaps encourage exercise more by having more bike lanes, for instance, and making biking to work more easy. But for Americans, that's pretty tough a lot of the time if you live far out in the suburbs, and et cetera. But there are things you can do, and one of the things we can do is to recognize that there aren't secrets, that there is going to be a bit of a sacrifice. There is going to be some hard work involved, and not to shy away from telling people that. And the other thing we can keep doing is things like this radio program, communicating to people how important it is to get out and walk and exercise and move. And the more we can tell people that, the more we can convey that message, the better off we're going to be.
Now, so we can convey the message, and is there one of the things we've done, and I'm going to be specific at the Cleveland Clinic, because we've been able to get 95% of the people who were healthy have stayed healthy since 2009, and we're losing, our BMIs are going down. But part of that has been a large dollar incentive paid for achieving what we call six normals plus immunizations up to date, normal blood pressure, normal waist for height, etc. Have you seen any secrets like that done elsewhere, and what the long-term effects are?
Well, I can point to one little thing, but I have to say that work at the Cleveland Clinic has been is really at the forefront of this, and I wish there were more places looking at this, looking at these problems in the way Cleveland Clinic has, and functional fitness stuff. One very promising little thing that's going on is in Marin County in California, in the public schools, they now have standing desks for the children. So the children can stand instead of sit all day, And that and just that makes a huge difference, I think, in their ability, you know, in their activity levels. We've got to we've got to start with children and make sure that they're getting they're both encouraged to get outside and are not living their lives in front of screens. So in schools you can do this, and I think that you sir, I think that you alluded to a really great idea, which is the way insurance companies can incentivize doing, you know, getting more activity. If you can, I've seen ads recently where, you know, if you can deadlift your body weight, you can get cheaper health insurance. And I think there should be more ways of doing that.
Huh. I've not heard of the deadlift your body, but I like the idea.
Yeah, it keeps coming up on my Facebook feed, an ad for insurance companies that will,
So we do, we have at the clinic, we have a large incentive program, meaning you get an insurance discount of almost 30% of your total cost, meaning it's about $2,000 less out of pocket, so that you have zero out of pocket if you have six normals plus your immunizations up to date. I'm really curious as to other things. So if you can study this, I want to encourage you, because Daniel Kunins, the book is called Lift, L-I-F-T, Fitness Culture from Naked Greeks and Acrobats to Jazzercise and Ninja Warriors. And it is his website, newfrontierfitness.com. This is a really wonderfully written book that is fairly darn comprehensive. I've also been impressed with the exercise extremes that you really don't need to go in, but have gotten some play, and there are more people doing those exercise extremes I've seen, such as mud wrestling or whatever the heck you call it. But you even cover that in the book.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I think I was particularly interested in the new and more extreme things that people are doing, because I think those show us where we're headed.
So, do you really think we're going in that direction with the extremes, or do you think, in other words, I worry that the extremes turn off a lot of other people?
Yes, maybe. I mean, the thing is, what seems extreme now will probably not seem very extreme in a few years. I guess I worry too that it might turn people off, but on the other hand, it might inspire people. I'd hope that they'd be inspired and excited by if only the entertainment value of people doing these things.
Well, we've got a hard stop, Dan. Thank you very much. It is the book is called Lift, and it is by Daniel Kunitz, K-U-N-I-T-Z, the newfrontierfitness.com. It is an incredibly well-written book. He talks about everything from fitness politics to the history of fitness, and Ken Cooper obviously is mentioned in there as one of my heroes. We'll be back next week on podcast form. We start these podcasts. This is podcast 402. Since 50,000 of you download the podcast, we're going to that alone. The whole Radio MD sequence is going to that. But I want to thank our engineer, Ben, who's done an outstanding job.